In a world that appears to be filled with negativity and distrust, it's easy to feel helpless and frustrated. Well, how about a change? How about a podcast that brings positivity to your day with stories about everyday people doing good things for people around them? You found it here. This is the Harmony Goal Podcast with Tom Durth, focused on making the world a more harmonious and caring place. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to another episode of the Harmony Goal Podcast. And keeping in mind that the purpose for this particular podcast is to shine a light on organizations and individuals who are doing unselfish work out in the world to help other people who are less fortunate. And in the long run, by helping others, we make this a more harmonious and wonderful world in which to live. And we all know that this is something that's really important to all of us today. And today, we have the honor of interviewing and talking to Lynn. And Lynn Espenson, and she has a background in IT. She worked in the information technology world for many, many years, all the way back to the days of the UNIVAC through just the latest technology of when she retired. And then she was drawn into an unbelievably beautiful and excellent way of serving the rest of the community. So, Lynn, thank you for being here. We truly appreciate your participation, and we're glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, and for your interest in me and what I've done.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Lynn is a perfect example of what one person can do. We always wonder, what can one person do to make a difference in the world? And Lynn is one of those people. And the thing that Lynn got involved with was hospice care. And in the world of hospice care, that is one of the areas that is so difficult to talk about. It's so difficult to face, but it's a reality. And it's one of those areas where people truly need help. So, Lynn, how in the world were you ever attracted from IT into the world of hospice care?
Well, this is kind of an interesting story. My husband was in hospice care for the last year of his life, off and on. And so that was my first actual experience. But then it was involved in working with the Boulder Hospice and doing respite care for patients whose wives or significant others were taking care of these patients and needed a break. And that's where that was my first taste of this wonderful thing that I chose to do and move on with.
Well, you know, being on one side of it, where you are experiencing that firsthand, it's a whole different story than being able to administer the kind of help and guidance that people would need. What sort of, was there any training involved that helped you figure out how to be on the other side of that situation?
For the Boulder Hospice, we had, it was 2 or 3 weeks of intense training where we saw videos and we studied. We had a whole big notebook full of things that we needed to study. Mm-hmm. And so then it became hands-on, but also we were shadowed in the beginning so that they were insured, the Boulder Hospice was insured that we were doing the job that they wanted us to do. But essentially, we did have that prerequisite to getting into the program at all.
Wow. Well, in that training program, do you actually get a chance to work with the people who are experiencing this dying in their lives? Do you really get to work with the people right away in the training program?
No, there was no hands-on during the training period. But mm-hmm. as soon as we were through, they started with us to be with patients. And so it would be pretty difficult to do hands-on with a group of people and one or two patients. Mm-hmm. So this really works out very well. You have a taste of what you can expect, and then you're there doing it. And I think it's just natural for those who like to give with no expectation of getting anything back.
And that defines you extremely well. And I truly appreciate that.
Thank you.
But one of the things that I understand actually was one of the most exciting parts for you to do this incredibly deep, loving care is you involved your dogs. Tell us about what that was like.
Well, it's the best part of my life. It started in 1999, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And I had dogs, and I had Newfoundlands at the time. They're great, gentle dogs. And I realized that it would be wonderful to have a purpose for the dog and me. And I heard about Lutheran Hospital's pet therapy program. Mm-hmm. And I volunteered there. I filled out a volunteer application for the pet therapy part. And I've been doing it ever since, essentially. And I started with one Newfoundland, a beautiful dog named Sophie. She was a black and white Newfoundland. And when I see people in the hospital, nurses and staff members, they'll say, "I remember Sophie." And then there was Charlie, a corgi. And then there was Truffles, another Newfie. And it was just the most wonderful, exciting time in my life to be able to have those dogs give so much to those patients. And they have, of course, had no expectations except to be loved. And so they and dogs give unconditional love. So it's kind of a teaching. I feel that I, too, give unconditional love to any patient that I'm dealing with or anybody in a hospice situation. It's been a total joy.
Wow, that's fabulous. So you've got your dogs involved who are unconditional love, as you say. Do you have any stories about that you could share with us about how the dogs actually made a change for the patient? Because, I mean, that's what we're there for, is to give them guidance and love and caring and know somebody cares about them. Who can care better than a dog? What little stories might you be able to share with us?
Well, with Sophie, we would visit patients in the hospice, and what you do is you go up to the door of the patient's room and you say, "Would you like a dog visit?" And then you go in and you introduce yourself, the dog, and you. Well, one particular day, I was told by the nursing staff that this particular patient had been in a very cranky, angry way, which is part of the phases of the death process. And perhaps I wouldn't want to go in. And I said, "Well, let's just see what Sophie does for him." And in I went and knocked on the door, and his two daughters were at the end of his bed. And they so "Please come in." All they could say is, "Please bring that dog in." And I did, and I would take Sophie up to the bed, sit in a chair myself, and Sophie put her head on the bed beside the man. And he took his hand and he touched Sophie's head. This is a 130-pound dog, so she's not small and she's gorgeous. And just rubbed it and then started to smile. His daughters got their cameras out and they said, "We have not seen our dad smile for over 2 weeks. You have brought nothing but joy with that dog." And it's, you become teary-eyed because you have brought a very, very special moment that they had never expected would happen again. And Sophie brought it to them, and me too.
Oh, wow. That gives you the encouragement to continue on.
Well, yes.
You could sleep well in a night like that.
Right. And I have other stories to share. May I?
Oh, please do. Please do. Because this is, we truly want people who are listeners to realize that one person can do something to make somebody else's life better. And this is beautiful. So any stories you have, we would love to hear those.
Well, I'm going to share another one that actually made it into the paper, but there was a patient at hospice, a man who he was elderly, but not probably not as old as I am. But he was close to being non-responsive. Well, in the summertime, they can take their patients out to these little patio areas. He was a horse owner. They brought his horses in into the patio. Those horses went up to his face and nudged his face. Now, granted, there were several hospice workers watching, and I was asked to watch too. It was so touching. And you knew that man who wasn't really responsive, but he knew his horses were there, and those horses knew that he was there. And it just is heartwarming when you see the love of an animal that can be given back to a man who is dying. Now, as after he died, they brought a horse, his horses back with a horse-drawn hearse and took him away from the hospice. And that's what made the paper, was this horse-drawn hearse. Fantastic.
Oh, man, that is just amazing. And just to know that, once again, you brought a moment of joy to this person by bringing back his horses to him.
Oh, yes, it was wonderful. And then another story with Truffles. Truffles was my brown Newfoundland, another beautiful dog, and another very, very great pet therapy dog. She loved people. We went into a room, and the woman was lying on her back with her head towards the side of the bed that I went to. And Truffles went in and put her head on the bed. And the woman's eyes were closed, but I think she must have known that something was there. They say hearing is one of the last things that go. So she may have heard me come into the room. Her family was there. She opened her eyes and she looked right into Truffle's eyes. And she said, "Beautiful." And her family started to cry and the tears started to roll down my face. And it was just one of the most touching things I have ever experienced. This joy, this moment that we brought to that woman, and the gift that my dogs brought to that woman, I just will never forget it. It's just it's just charming.
That is beautiful. That's what a beautiful gift.
Yeah, it is.
That's a gift you don't have to wrap.
It's that's just right.
A gift of love. That's a true definition. Well, you said you had a corgi also. I mean, your newfies were able to put their. Is that legal to say newfie?
Well, yes, everybody. Newfie. Calls
okay,
them.
I don't know if that's politically incorrect or not, but you had a corgi, and obviously the corgi couldn't reach the bed. Were you able to put a corgi on the bed, or how did you handle a small dog?
With a small dog, many of the pet therapy team members with smaller dogs pushed them in a cart. Charlie was my corgi, so he was a little heavy to put in a cart, but I would lift him up and put him on the bed. But we would always ask the patient, is it okay if our dog gets on the bed? Actually, my newfies got on the bed too, believe it or not.
Wow.
They never ever hurt a patient. I was just super careful. But the corgis got on the bed and they would just cuddle and be right there with the person, and they could put their arms around them and they could just love these dogs. So you have to find a special dog to do this kind of work. But there are many, many in this world. And it's just the most wonderful program I was ever involved with, was the pet therapy program. I'm still a chair, but I don't have a dog in the program anymore because I have difficulty walking. But I just love this program.
That's amazing. I know we said that in order to work in the hospice environment, you need to go through some training. Do the dogs need to be vetted in some way before you can take them in to see patients?
Yes. At Lutheran Hospital in Wheat Ridge, each dog is seen by a different vet twice before they even begin the program. And in some cases, the vets will not allow the dog to come into the program. They will check the dog, listen to the heart, have them become submissive. We want a dog to be able to lie down and roll over. If a dog isn't submissive, we don't want them in the program because they're not as trusting and they're not as trustworthy. So we have to be super careful when we're bringing these dogs in. They also pinch their paws because a child may step on them. They check for any kind of damaged hips or shoulders, anything that might be an issue that could prevent a dog from doing the program. Mm-hmm. Once they've passed their physical tests, we do training. We have a training session where a trainer walks around with the dog and the dog owner, and they show them the ropes, tell them how to do it, tell them how to greet the patients, tell them how to work with the staff. Mm-hmm. It's very important the staff have these dogs present too, because mm-hmm. it's a nice relief for them. Mm-hmm. Then we have two evaluations where we shadow them actually doing a visit. One of the things they want us to do is visit twice a month. Now, with my newfies, I went 4 times a month because I loved it, just loved it.
Hmm. Wow. Well, I know, so this is the work you did with the dogs, but I know when you're one-on-one with the patient, you probably have some interaction with them yourself. It's not just the dog care. What sort of things are you able to do for a patient who's experiencing this scary part of their life? What can you do to help them beyond the dogs, if you will?
Well, it's most important to listen if they're lucid and clear in their thinking and to hear what they have to say. So it's very important not to interrupt them, but to honor them where they are in the moment. I do back rubs too and leg rubs and things like that. I have bathed my patients. I certainly have fed my patients. I've done things they want. I've read to them. I've combed their hair. All sorts of things that they ask me to do. And I do it because I want them to find a place of peace in this process that they're going through.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful. That is just absolutely amazing. What do you think? Here you are volunteering to do this, and I know that that's the person you are, but what's the greatest reward that you feel that you've received from doing this?
I think in my lifetime, this has been the most joyous part of my life, and it gave me a feeling of worthiness and that I really am full of love and have it to give to others. And just a time of giving back on an unconditional basis where I expect nothing in return. But what I get in return is beyond anything I could possibly believe, because I am in a place of total peace, serenity.
With this, can't buy that. You can't get a vitamin or a medical pill to take to give you that. Right. It's that whole experience through your body to really experience what that's like to give unconditionally. And I think that that's the reason we do this podcast, is to shine the light on people who are unselfishly changing the world. And every smile you help put on somebody's face is a world changer. And just can't begin to thank you enough for what you've done there. If you were to give some advice to the people listening right now, is anybody who even has an inkling of, I'd like to do something good, what would you like to tell them?
Well, of course, because of my experience, I think hospice work is the most the best thing you can do mm-hmm. when somebody's dying. It's so important to help them come to a place of peace. And a lot of the patients aren't. So if a person can do hospice work, because some cannot, it's difficult to deal with somebody who's dying, then do it. You can call local hospices and say, do you need any volunteers? Do you need respite care for any of the patients or the patient's spouses? Is there anything I can do to help the dying? And that's how I got started, essentially. If you have a dog, on the other hand, and the dog is a loving dog, and the dog is a gentle dog, you can always do pet therapy. It became such a part of my life because I happen to have these wonderful dogs that just are oozing with love to give to mm-hmm. other people. So you can join a pet therapy group at Lutheran Hospital. They have other pet therapy groups throughout our city, Denver, but at Lutheran Hospital, we do in-house training. And there's no expense to the person who comes in except to buy a uniform. And the dogs are absolutely loved by the staff and the nurses and everyone, including the patients. And many patients who come back to Lutheran as regular patients oftentimes say, is such and such this dog there? We want to visit. So they do have a way that we can visit patients if they give a particular request to see a dog. Mm-hmm. With one of my dogs, I followed a patient from the hospital all the way through hospice. And that mm-hmm. was with Sophie. And Sophie would get on her bed. And it was wonderful, just wonderful. Mm-hmm. So in essence, I followed her from the point that she came to the hospital to the point that she died.
Wow. Well, I know one of the other things that you mentioned just a little bit there of, you know, giving people who are the family members, that sort of thing, like a sense of peace, a joy, a smile on their face. What else is a benefit to the families who are seeing you take care of their loved one? What other things go on there?
Well, essentially, in hospice, the family members are essentially stay there until the patient dies. And they can go on and they can be non-responsive for quite a while. So the patient's family's just sitting and waiting. And I think it's got to be a very difficult time. So the dogs give them a huge break. And we'll sit there with them and say nothing but let them pet the dogs. Let them hug the dogs. I've done it time and time again where I just say, here's Sophie, here's Truffles, here's Charlie. Just hold them or love them. And the dog just stays there. I think there's the dogs know that they are in a special place and they're providing some special care to someone who really needs it.
Wonderful.
Did I answer your question?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I know full well that that's got to be a pretty lonely place to be, is sitting in a room just waiting and not knowing what's going to happen next. And moment to moment to moment, the moments drag on, I'm sure. So just you being there as somebody who can talk to them, share ideas with them, let them talk if they need to talk, let them be quiet if they need to be quiet. What a beautiful gift that is.
Right.
So one last moment here. Once again, just to remind our listeners how they can get involved. I know you said just to call hospice. Is there any guidance you can give them on that?
Well, I know that from a hospice perspective, there are many, many hospices in our area. And if you have one in mind because you knew someone who died there, call that hospice and say, can I volunteer to work with patients in some way? Or can I volunteer to work with the families in some way? And they will oftentimes tell you what to do. With Lutheran Hospital, you can call the volunteer department and say, I want to volunteer. I want to bring a pet. And the pet therapy program is slightly separate from the regular volunteer program, because we are designed to go about the rooms and be with the people and that kind of thing. And most of the others are doing other essential things for the patients and for the hospital, but we have more hands-on with the patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you've got a dog, you're going as a team.
Yeah, you are.
That's great, yeah. Well, Lynn, I cannot begin to thank you enough for sharing these ideas with our listening audience. And just once again, people wonder all the time, what can one person do? And you are definitely an incredible experience with what you're doing out there. A role model for what people can do as an individual. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the love that you've shared, the dogs that you've shared, the memories that you've shared, and the stories that you've shared with us today. So thank you so much for doing all that, and bless you, my dear.
Thank you, Tom. This has been a great time, and thank you for learning about this and being so open about it and loving it, because it's a love of mine.
Right. It's a tough topic, and you handled it extremely well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, for the rest of you, please tune in again next week for another episode of The Harmony Goal. Once again, shining a light on people who are unselfishly out there helping other people who are less fortunate. And be sure and go to our website, too, which is theharmonygoal.com. And that is goal as in a goalpost. And if you'd like to subscribe, it's easy to do there. If you'd like to let us know how we're doing, if you'd like to make a donation to keep us on the air, that would be wonderful too. So in the meantime, go out there, and yes, one person can make a change in the world, and that's you. So we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Harmony Goal Podcast. To learn more ways in which people are creating harmony in the world, simply subscribe to this podcast. See our mission at theharmonygoal.com. And remember, we are all empowered to create more harmony in the world, one smile at a time.